Welcome to Sage Health On Call. I'm your host, Halima Christie, and here with my co-host today is Dr. Stephen Weiss, and our two guests, Dr. Howard McConaughey and Glenn Perry. We will be discussing the art and soul, the relationship of art to health and healing. And I just want to start with mentioning that I know some of you are familiar with Stephen because he's been on this show as a co-host several times. But I just want to remind everybody that Stephen is a board-certified family doctor with a private practice in holistic and integrative medicine here in Albuquerque. He was a partner in the Treehouse Center for Integrative Medicine, and he's been very involved on many levels with SEED, which is a graduate institute here in Albuquerque area. Stephen's now a member of their advisory board and presents at conferences on integral health and healing there. And he's been a volunteer faculty as well at SEED. Welcome, Stephen, to the program this morning.
Thank you, Halima. It's nice to be here again. And I'd like to begin by introducing Glenn Perry, the executive director of SEED Graduate Institute. Glenn is also a friend of mine, but by way of introducing him, I'd like to read SEED's mission statement because it really does summarize what SEED is about. Source for Educational Empowerment and Community Development, SEED, was founded in 1996 to bridge indigenous wisdom and modern knowledge, established disciplines and new leading-edge fields, and experiential and academic knowledge. The mission of SEED Graduate Institute is to provide a synergistic, interconnected, holistic education that can empower individuals to find their true calling in service to their community and the natural world. MA master's programs are available in Indigenous Ways of Knowing, Science and Cosmology, Global Ecology, Integral Healing, and the Expressive Arts. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Stephen. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about SEED and about the work that you do?
Sure. I always love to talk about SEED. You know that. you got off to a great start. Thank you very much. We have those five programs, and they are representative of the elements, and we named them that way to intentionally imply the interconnectedness of all learning. Is what we're seeking to do at SEED, which hasn't been done very often for centuries, really, is to revise education to go backward in time a little bit in order to go forward appropriately. So to go backward and look at all of learning and all of life as an interconnected whole. And, you know, in these days and times in holistic health and whatnot, the word holism is thrown out there a lot. But here at SEED, we look at holism in a way that indigenous peoples have for centuries. So global ecology is in the earth area. Science and cosmology is in air. Integral healing is in fire. Expressive arts is in water. And spirit is for indigenous ways of knowing. We are attempting to create a Turtle Island Renaissance, as I mentioned before, like the European Renaissance that went before it, that will look backward in order to go forward. And, you know, it's like Bucky Fuller said. Bucky Fuller looked at all knowledge as being comprehensivist, and he wished for any one field to be informed by all fields. And in today's world, with disciplines being extremely fragmented, it is difficult to conceive of education as being anything but that. And in fact, this is most interesting. I'd like to speak about what Heraclitus said. And Heraclitus said that to souls it is death to become water, To water it is death to become earth. Out of earth comes water, and from water soul. And this conference that we're doing, the Art and Soul Conference, is a water conference. And it's a water conference because it's placed in the expressive arts. And the person to my right here, who I'd like to introduce, is Howard McConaughey, who is the person who is, you know, everything is interconnected and interrelated, and there's such a web of events that comes to any one moment in time. So there's a million kinds of events that brought us here and brought us to this conference and brought us to the founding of Seed Graduate Institute. But when it comes to this conference, Howard McConaughey is the single person most responsible for bringing this conference to bear. And I met Howard McConaughey because I was looking for somebody in this community through any contact I had who knew James Hillman. And I was introduced to Howard by a woman named Elizabeth Richardson, who was teaching a class for Seed then called How to Begin Again After 50. And she introduced me to Howard. And she actually passed away about a week after that. And I'm always grateful to that introduction because Howard and I hit it off. Howard has a deep, abiding love for James Hillman, as I do, and for the expressive arts and for soul. And he's been a phenomenal art educator here in Albuquerque. He's the person that brought art education and James Hillman's archetypal psychology together in an innovative program at UNM. And he carried forward that program for many years before his retirement, and the work still reverberates in the community. He's beloved by so many, and we're so happy to have him. And he's on our Seed Board of Directors, too. We love him. So take it away, Howard.
Thank you very much for that nice introduction. When I first read James Hillman's work, I said to my wife, you know, he's writing about psychology, but he's saying everything that I always wanted to say but couldn't articulate too clearly about art and art education and art therapy. So I had always thought that art is important in the public schools and for people who are not talented or not going to be artists, because it is a healthful, healing kind of activity that gets one in touch with the image and imagination, so that what I was doing in art and what Hillman was doing in psychology just seemed to merge into one, and to touch the soul.
Thank you. Welcome, both of you, wonderful presenters to our program. I want to make sure the listeners know that they are invited to call in and speak with Glenn Parry and with Dr. Howard McConaughey. The phone number here in the area is 277-5866, and the phone number outside the Albuquerque area is 1-877-899-5866. And so let's hear a little more about how you have been relating art to therapy, Dr. McConaughey. That might be a wonderful segue to talk about that art and soul.
The important thing about Hillman's work and that got me involved deeply in archetypal psychology as a part of art is that it focuses on image and the imagination. A phrase from one of Hillman's books that is almost a koan for me is that it is the conservation, exploration, and vivification of the imagination that is the important therapeutic aspect. And that's what therapy is all about, and that's what art's all about. To conserve the imagination, to explore it further, to vivify it, give it more life, is to get in touch with the soul. Hillman calls it soul making, so that and my term is that image is the speech of soul. So that made me... that's why I gave my life, beginning of my life, that my whole profession was art education, art for children in the public schools and for untutored adults. And it, when I read Hillman, I felt here is confirmation of my ideas. And Hillman, of course, says it so beautifully in so many ways. So that the importance is image and imagination.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. So that, because I think we're finding out more and more in the health field as well, the same thing as you say, that our imagination really has a lot to do with how well we heal, how fast we heal, from just about anything. I mean, if we can see ourselves healthy, if we can see ourselves in a healthy relationship, if we can see ourselves, you know, totally happy, then we are so much more likely to create that in our lives and to allow that to happen in our lives.
Yes, that the whole field of guided imagery is taken off. It's been around for decades, but it's been used in cancer therapies and other many, just about any type of therapy to bring us to the state of health that we desire to push us forward in achieving our goals and our the desired outcome.
Right. Yeah. So, Glenn, you had quite a vision when you started Seed Institute, and you had quite a vision. You saw, and then later, just fast-forwarding, because you've had this institute for many years, but the past couple of years, you've been developing this fourfold university. So you see that as you were describing in the beginning of each element supporting and enhancing the other element and integrating in the community with air and water. And tell us a little more about that, because that's quite a vision, talking about seeing in the imagination.
Well, the reason why we're naming the programs after the elements is because the elements are fluid. The elements flow in and out of each other. And as I'm saying that, it sounds like all the elements are water, but but everything, the essence, spirit or pneuma or the is at the center, but it flows through and connects and interpenetrates all the other elements. And everything can be broken down in the elements. So some of Hillman's work has a lot to do with taking what psyche has overly fixated upon and breaking it down. Breaking and having a downward movement into soul. One of the things that indigenous peoples do, and one of the things that we're doing at Seed Graduate Institute, is grounding our education, not simply reaching for intellectual, spiritual knowledge, but we're also grounding it in the earth.
Yeah. Yeah, I attended the Peace and Well-Being conference in the fall, and it was so wonderful because it was outside. It was in circles. Various people presented from several indigenous cultures. Stephen, you were a presenter there as well, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. And so we really, it's going to be wonderful to watch this university grow here in this community that integrates, because that's what a better place than Albuquerque to start this kind of a concept, I think. As far as this, the healing aspect of it, the art and soul, it's been so difficult for people to talk about soul because one person's concept is different than another. But what I'm hearing you saying, Glenn, is did you use the word pneuma and spirit? Is that connected to the soul access that you're talking about? Or?
Well, Howard's probably the person to ask about the connection between spirit and soul and the tripartite reality. So I'm going to pass that one to Howard.
Okay.
We talk about so much in our in contemporary society. We talk about body and soul, but we like in archetypal psychology, we like to think of it as a tripart situation: body and soul and spirit. So that soul is intermediate between spirit and body, or heaven and earth, so to speak, and intermediary between the two. Soul needs spirit, and soul needs matter, so that reaching in both direction. Soul is the thing that relates spirit and matter, keeps us from floating off into nowhere spiritually with our feet solidly on the ground. So talking about soul and spirit and imagination, the poet David White says that the poetic tradition would say that imagination is paying close attention to the world so that we don't just float off into nowhere. Spirit means connection, and soul is that connecting aspect between spirit and matter.
That's just the opposite of what we think of as scientific genius, where we're not paying attention to the world. We're trying to bring in new concepts that we've never seen before or something like that. That's interesting.
The scientific genius or scientific objectivity you're speaking
of? I guess objectivity. This is just to recap, you know, because archetypal psychology has to do with, it was sort of coined by Carl Jung, is that right?
Right.
And he was the first one. He was a student of Freud, and he was, he sort of discovered, would it be fair to say, the collective unconscious and the part of our psyche that shares with other.
Yes. Freud's concern with the unconscious was mostly with the individual unconscious.
Yeah.
And Jung saw that as a collective, universal kind of thing. It called it the anima mundi, the soul of the world.
Yeah.
Which is each of our individual souls is a part of the world soul. And so that it broadens Freud's concept of the unconscious.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Eastern thought, which I'm most familiar with, there's the concept of Brahman, which is the universal consciousness, and the concept of Atman, which is the individual spirit. Or how would you relate the anima mundi and this and the concepts of spirit and soul to this Eastern philosophy?
Very many people have found a very close relationship between what Hillman, as I call Hillman, a post-Jungian therapist. And there's several books relating his work to Eastern thought. Hillman himself feels that we can go too far trying to become Eastern or forgetting the world through meditation and nothing else. And he feels that his work is solidly based in Greco-Hebraic.
Neoplatonist. Yeah.
Neoplatonist.
Another way we used to say it is the devil is in the details. Do you remember Jung used to say that a sign of a good psychologist was someone who really liked story and who liked all the details of the story and kind of stayed with the relationship of things.
Yes.
Rather than getting off into too much sacred meditational stuff. I mean, even though Jung did encourage the meditational, he was really very... he always talked about staying with the details of what you were doing, and that's how you would understand soul. That's how you would access your own soul, your own soul's message or purpose.
One of Jung's influences in his concern with alchemy was The Secret of the Golden Flower, which is an Oriental.
I read that.
Alchemy. Source.
Yeah, did he edited that? Didn't he?
He worked I can't think of the name of the man who translated it, but they worked together. Yes.
Yeah, it was the same one who did the Book of Changes, the I Ching. That man.
Yeah.
But I just want to remind the readers that you can call in and speak with Dr. McConaughey and Glenn Perry about this wonderful topic of art and soul and its relationship to health and healing. And you can call in at 277-5866 and 1-877-899-5866 if you're outside the Albuquerque area. Because I do think that a lot of disciplines are starting to understand how much that we can do when we're starting to understand how our minds work and how our feelings work and how our spirit works in with this. And I know in holistic health, body, mind, and spirit is quoted. Now you're quoting soul, spirit, soul, and matter.
And
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so all of these things are dovetailing into, because we're learning. We're finally learning some of these ideas. As far as a therapy of soul, Hillman really was working with that, wasn't he? He wrote that book.
Yes. And,
yeah.
What Hillman did with Jung was to carry Jung's work further in the direction that Jung was going. Yeah. Jung, of course, developed during his whole life. And many of the classical Jungians stopped where Jung stopped.
Yes.
But Hillman went on, but in the direction that Jung was traveling, which was towards the archetype, towards the soul, and towards image. In fact, Jung said, soul is image. And I say image is the speech of soul.
Mm-hmm.
So the concern with caring for soul as the intermediary between spirit and matter is important in the fact that care is a continuous kind of concern that it's not just a one-time thing. You're cured and you don't have to worry anymore.
Right.
And it's concerned with the psyche or the soul more than with the ego or the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the emphasis is on anima mundi, or the soul of the world.
Yeah. This whole concept that's coming in through health and healing about unconditional love, you know, remember in the 80s we all thought, that's impossible. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were such, you know, worldly creatures. We couldn't possibly achieve unconditional love and support for everyone and everything in this lifetime. Besides, it's not realistic, and look at all the terror out there. But
right. But
this concept of unconditional love has been gradually gaining momentum and understanding. And I think it sort of ties in with what you're talking
Absolutely.
About here. Yeah. We see this a lot in working with cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
They learn to relax and try to forgive the pain and forgive the situation. And as they do that, they learn that the pain starts to dissolve and they don't have as much pain, even, you know, through the initial stages. So, Stephen, you've probably worked with this idea in your practice, too, with holistic medicine.
Yes, I have. I've actually just been working with a patient with advanced cancer, breast cancer, and I, what I recommended at the time was, you know, there's the oncologists out there are recommending, you know, tell patients that they have so and so many months to live, and I think we have to be open to all possibilities. One needs to believe that one can heal oneself even in the direst of circumstances, but be ready, be completely open to the possibility of death and dying.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, that's the unconditional love part of it.
It is.
That you give up your specific agenda.
Yeah.
That's terribly important, you know, that's why I emphasize care of the soul rather than care of the ego, because mm-hmm. you have to give
yeah.
up your specific ego agenda.
Yes.
My wife died of cancer just a year and a half ago, but she died very comfortably because she was very much into archetypal thinking, and she was an she did artwork also, it's really caring for the world, caring for your environment, caring for each other, that makes the world whole and Yeah. It is a healing aspect. And we need more of that, particularly in the kind of world we're living in at the present time.
Yeah.
Right. And have you all read Hillman's last book, The Force of Character?
No.
It's a wonderful, wonderful book. And I one of the things that Hillman brings out in this book, which is that death itself cannot be really experienced. So he reconfigures a focus on aging as preparation for death and dying, and redirects the consciousness to what is occurring then. And he studies and adds heart and warmth and soul to the aging years, and looks at those aging years as almost a ripening of the soul, and stays there. See, that's the brilliance of Hillman. He doesn't get caught up in focusing on what you can't know, and instead he stays in the physical and in the reality of those aging years, and how they're sweetened and ripened by the myths of aging. And there's a purpose for aging. There's a reason why we grow old, and why we and it does bring about this ineffable kind of wisdom.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Thanks. Yeah, I'd like to open the discussion up a little bit more to the definitions of archetype. I think some of our listeners may not be completely aware of that term and how this links with art and the upcoming
and healing
as well. Yes,
Archetype is very difficult to explain. What is archetypal is what is universal. What is universal in all of us? When we talk about the an archetype, say the mother archetype, we all have had a mother. We all, whether we're fathers or mothers, do mothering, so that it's a universal quality aspect of human life. The child, we all were children, we all are still. I'm 83 years old, and sometimes I think, my goodness, what am I going to do? You know, what have I done? So that I act as a child, I act as an old man, I act as a mother, I act as a teacher, I act as... the Greeks named the archetypes... the names of gods gave, and so that, you know, when I get angry, I'm acting an archetype which the Greeks would have called Mars, the god of war. Mm-hmm. When I love, it may be Aphrodite, the goddess of love and beauty. So that when I'm an old man and serious and love order and so on, then I'm Saturn. So that may help us to think about archetypes as just universal aspects, many aspects which are in all of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that we're not just one thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And can you talk a little bit about how this influences art and either your art or art in general?
You know, the imagination can only think in terms of images. That's the Greek gods are images. You know, they're not the things that we worship, but they're these universal aspects. So that any image has focuses your imagination, and that's where art comes in. One of my students one time said, Dr. McConaughey, I know that I can agree that, as you say, that everybody is creative, but not everybody has an imagination. I, for one, have no imagination. So I asked her to describe the professor that she was in her class just before, and she described him in pretty complete detail. And I said, well, you come in with another student every day to class, Is she also in that professor's class? Oh, yes. Well, do you think she would tell me the same thing that you did when, if she described it? Oh, no, she said. She's flunking the course. She hates them. Mm-hmm. And I said, then your image of your professor is different from hers. Mm-hmm. So that the image that each of us has relates to our own selves, but also to the world out there. And that's what makes art is an image.
Yeah. Okay. We want to remind listeners to call in at 277-5866 and 1-877-899-5866 in the outside the Albuquerque area. I remind you, you are listening to Sage Health on Call on KUNM 89.9 on your radio dial. Also, we want to... Stephen, why don't you tell a little bit about this wonderful conference that Glenn and Howard are organizing?
Yes, I'm happy to. It's called Art and Soul, which is the same name as Howard's book. And it's also it says connecting to the deep mysteries of life through the artistic image. It's going to be held Thursday, February 26th through Sunday, February 29th, 2004 at Bishop's Lodge in Santa Fe, which is a lovely hotel and resort center that I highly recommend. It's gorgeous, not very far at all from the center of town. I'm just going to read a little paragraph from the upcoming brochure. It's about art. Art emerges from the creative imagination of the universe, the life force central to all of existence. Art connects us to culture and to nature through the physical senses and gives meaning to our lives. Art connects us to the deep mysteries of life. Art connects us to soul. Art and Soul is a unique conference that accesses the intersection of art, archetypal psychology, mythology, and cross-cultural wisdom traditions. It is a conference dedicated to exploring the depth of human feeling through the image and provides a forum for discussion and experience of beauty, joy, love, pathos, and more. So, perhaps, Glenn, you could tell us a little, both of you could tell us a little bit more about the upcoming conference.
Yeah, but we have a caller, Natalie in Albuquerque. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Halima. It's Natalie.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
everybody.
Good morning.
I'm calling with a question. I teach a workshop in helping people listen to the voice of their own soul, which in my tradition, the Jewish tradition, would be the part of us that is loosely saying the part of God that is part of the all, the intelligent guiding principle of the universe. And what I've discovered in the work, and I'd like all of you, you know, to respond to this, is that listening to the voice, being able to listen to the voice of one's own soul, allows one to reach one's pure source of creativity or imagination. And then creativity brings people joy. And joy facilitates healing. Healing then leads to self-awareness, which then reconnects the person back to his or her soul consciousness. And so you have this entire connection of soul leading to creativity, leading to joy, to healing, to self-awareness, and back to soul. That's my experience with my work, and I'd like to hear any comments about it. That's all.
Well, I think that's a very complete observation. I would only suggest that getting in touch with one's own soul is getting in touch with the universal soul at the same time, and that's why it's so healing. I mentioned David White's idea that imagination was paying close attention to the world, but he said then he continues by saying, when you pay a close attention to the world pays attention back to you, mm-hmm. but with such greater intensity than you could ever have paid to the world. And that's where the healing comes in. It's the world paying mm-hmm. attention. It's not the therapist, not the teacher, not myself, wonderful. Not my soul, mm-hmm. but the world paying attention back. Mm. Does that sound good to you,
Natalie?
Yeah.
Well, Natalie may be listening on the air. Yeah, but I really like that.
Yes,
Stephen, you may have something to say
that's
about
beautiful.
That.
Well, You know, my talk at SEED's first Integral Healing Conference was called Radical Peace, and it was about the peace that is our own true nature, our own consciousness, and it's really our own soul or spirit. And in Eastern traditions, the soul is spirit and soul is interconnected in Eastern religions. It's pretty much the same thing. But the qualities of this universal consciousness are Sat Chit Ananda, which is truth, mm-hmm. bliss, and awareness. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly connecting to this is going to give us more joy, more bliss, as well as more awareness. It's very much in line with the Eastern thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for the call. And that's how we're conceiving of education at SEED as well. So one that is getting in touch with one's own soul and one's own through self-awareness, you know, will connect you to much of everything. In the same way that we're conceiving of art being in the expressive arts is one aspect of a total whole, where healing is another aspect. But really, they intertwine all the time. They connect. I remember talking with Howard about maybe art therapy ought to be in the healing area. And in fact, of course, art therapy is healing. Expressing oneself is completely healing. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And tell us a little bit more, please, about art therapy and what and how that can help us become more whole.
Art therapy is probably the youngest of the helping professions, which started right after World War II, actually, in the 1940s, as a profession. The whole idea of art therapy is to, through image, getting in touch directly with one's images that are gifts from the soul, and bringing them, giving them body, making them right on the paper or canvas so that they become manifest in the world is very important for most any kind of disorder. It's the disordered emotion which needs to be brought together in an object that, and the fact that art actually gives you an object in front of you to look at, makes art therapy different from, and in some senses, a little more intense than other kinds of therapy.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned before that I got my master's in music as a therapy and healing modality. Uh-huh. And I ended up writing a thesis on levels of awareness in human perception of melody. Mm-hmm. Because as a musician, seeking to be a music therapist, it became clear that image was the most important. What is the image of a melody? Mm-hmm. Where is my image of melody? Do I ever sing? How am I using melody with my clients, with my patients? Are they singing? What are they singing? And what kind of connection do they have to their feelings? And that led to thinking about connection to the soul, but I didn't really know that much about it at the time. So I just sort of stopped with what kind of connection to the feelings are we creating with song, with singing, with melody as an image? And at the end of the work, I discovered that actually melodies are archetypes as well, mm-hmm. and they're intuitive archetypes, and they're a little softer than some other ways of working with health and healing. So it was a wonderful journey. Mm-hmm. But I started to also work with children doing visual and drawings and things like that, and using the music as a
background. It goes so well together.
Yeah, which I think a lot of people do now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, thanks, Halima. I'd like to get back to this upcoming conference because it really is bringing a number of wonderful speakers to the New Mexico, to Santa Fe. And I'd like to ask Glenn to give us a little bit more information about this upcoming mm-hmm. conference.
Well, what this conference will be, among other things, will be a soulful reunion of the founders of archetypal psychology. And a lot of them gathered in, archetypal psychology, I think it dates back just about to 1969. That's about the time it began to be called that. And shortly after that, at the Dallas Institute of the Humanities, we have Gail Thomas, who will be one of the speakers at the conference, who was, together with James Hillman, co-founded the Dallas Institute of the Humanities. And he brought together somebody we haven't mentioned yet in this hour, Robert Sardello, Tom Moore, people like Ed Casey, and
Joseph Rael, I see. Is he going to be there?
Well, he's not one of the archetypal psychologists, but that's somebody we can get to in a moment.
Okay.
These people are coming, and they form the core, perhaps, of what this conference is about. And they're all friends of Howard's. Howard's known them for a long, long time. And so there's a reunion. And because of that, we're doing some dialogue. We're doing some interaction. It's not a conference where there's a talking head, one speaking to an audience.
Fabulous.
We're having dream groups. We're having writing groups. We're having expressive movement and those types of things. And then we do have, like you mentioned, Halima, we have Joseph Rael, Greg Cahete, Angelina Medina, and Kalsu Murray, who represent the native people who will be at the conference, and indigenous thought has a lot to say about creativity and art. In fact, in indigenous societies, they put art in the very center of their universe. So that's something that will be very present at this conference as well. It's going to be great. I mean, we have Kitty Margolis, the jazz singer.
Yay.
Will be performing a conference concert together with Monty Monturi, one of the more brilliant people on the planet, who's a jazz saxophonist and a tremendous holistic thinker. Mary Watkins from Pacifica Graduate Institute will be there as well, and that's about Cheryl Saunders, who is a co-founder of the School of Spiritual Psychology with Sardella, will be there. Mm. A great cast of people.
That sounds fantastic. We have a caller. Rogi, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Rogi.
Oh, Rogi.
No problem.
Hi.
I need to say this. I really think it's relevant to the conversation, but it's something that hasn't been brought up. Marty Ronisch on Performance New Mexico this week announced that Governor Bill Richardson is knocking $4 million out of arts funding for elementary education.
Yeah.
Albuquerque, that translates to we have about one art teacher to about 2,000 students.
Right.
Oh, that's a very, very busy art teacher.
Right.
And when you're talking about art is healing, I spent 10 years over in the war zone.
Uh-huh.
And kids came to my house.
Uh-huh.
And I could see that there was fundamental developmental disability by the fact that those kids don't understand the concept of imagination.
Yeah.
Children who don't use their imaginations.
Right.
Their whole lives are completely reactionary, and they are completely victimized by the circumstances around them because they can't think for themselves.
Right.
So I'm going to get on soapbox, which I rarely do, but in this case, I think it's important. And
good one.
I think it behooves us all to contact Governor Richardson's office and to contact the letters section of our media, of our newspapers, and so on, and say that this is unacceptable behavior.
Yep.
That we need this as part of our core curriculum. Otherwise, the people of New Mexico in the next few generations are going to be qualified for nothing but McJobs.
Yeah, thank you very much, Rogi. Rogi, because Rogi, right?
Yeah.
Because I think we all know this, and nobody quite sometimes doesn't know what to do about this. The fact that music has been completely expunged from grammar school and some middle school, and art is now following suit. And so we at Sage Health completely agree with what you're talking about. And I support what you're saying about contacting the governor's office, contacting various media, because you are going to have a generation of children who grow up in front of a TV and they aren't developing all aspects of their brain. They aren't developing all of the potential that they would have for creativity and imagination.
And even basic pragmatic stuff like the ability to reason, to make choices.
Right.
They're incapable of doing that because they don't know how to think. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know how to think for yourself, you can't think for your community.
Well,
all you can do is do what you're told.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rogi. That was very very good, Rogi. The interesting thing is that it has been proven that the arts do help people to learn to think well, to improve it. Even people who have more art in the elementary schools, it even improves their reading skills. Mm. And this has been documented. So I think it's very important that New Mexico, which is a state that claims to be an artistic state and has art from three different cultures, needs to
understand
and to promote the arts much more strongly.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, the whole thing about the relationship of art to health is so important, and Roji's phone call has absolutely that's a whole other show that we were going to do, actually, Roji, because of its importance. We wanted to introduce this idea of image because one of the really good things about health and healing is that if we get the idea of health and we replace, you know, the victim mentality with the idea that we can control and be healthy in our lives, that in and of itself, they're finding out in the field of psychology, is very, very powerful, so that we can undo in shorter times than we realize some of the real psychological dangers that have happened by removing our art and culture from schools.
Yeah, and I just like to comment that, you know, our healthcare system is really a disease care system. And we're taught in medical schools how to treat disease, but we're really not given much input on how to create health.
Right.
That's really what integrative medicine is attempting to do, and holistic medicine is to focus much more on health and prevention and of course, if something needs to be treated, to go ahead and address that, but also to focus on how to create and sustain a healthy individual, a healthy community, and a healthy world. It's,
yeah.
It goes beyond just the individual.
And one of the things I want to say, and then I want to ask Glenn, because I know he has some thoughts on this, but when I was working with Dr. Jerry Jampolsky, who worked with children who have leukemia, these kids were taught about imaging. They were taught about seeing themselves, seeing every cell in their body really, really well. And they were taught about seeing themselves as victorious over their illness. And the children went into remission very quickly, whereas the adults who were given the same principles of guided imagery and healing and told to relax and see themselves healthy and see themselves well, the adults didn't do as well statistically. And so somebody asked Jerry Jampolsky, they said, how is it that these kids go into remission so quickly? And the adults, you know, it's not the same. And they're using the same techniques. And he said, because kids can get with it. They believe it. They see it. They can get the image faster of a healthy person, of a healthy self. Mm-hmm. But we adults have all this stuff that is in between our image and our
we've been bombarded with so many images as adults.
Yeah.
Often negative images that gets in the way of creating, I think, a truly healthy image.
Yeah, and the therapy is clearing, whether it's for adults or children, the therapy is clearing out the resistance to the healthy image or the artistic image or the visionary image like you are both talking about today. So, Glenn, I'm sure you have a lot to say about this kind of thing, about the relationship of art and education and children and all of that kind of thing. You've been working on that in your school a bit, I would think.
Halima, when you mention it, it just brings to mind spoon-bending parties. I visited in California once, and I saw little children who were able to bend gigantic bars simply because they believed that they could. But we have to be careful not to overly romanticize the abilities of children also, because there's just something rich about growing into adulthood and growing with the world where there's other benefits. It's just, but it is true at the same time that we do need to sometimes let go of those fixated images that we have. And that's what a lot of these archetypal psychologists work with in people, whether it's in therapy, art therapy, or just in life.
So I was just trying to think of which archetype would be this in the Greek, or that would kind of nurture the educational growth of children, you know, the teaching and the nurturing of children. That's Demeter? Is that Demeter?
Well, Demeter is the nature goddess that nurtures nature and health and wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of gods and goddesses, of course, who relate to education and development. Mm-hmm. So that the goddess Athena, Athena is in relation to the crafts and art in that sense. So that there's really no one archetype that, because of our whole experience and life itself is multiple, so that every archetype has its opposite, and every aspect of our life relates to several of the archetypes and not just one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that this is it's an exciting time, because we are seeing both the problem and the tools of how to solve the problem. But the question is, how do we implement it harmoniously and quickly, you know, into our system, for instance, into our educational system or different bureaucracies that we're working with?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be quickly. I mean, what's probably going on here is that, you know, we've had centuries of moving toward greater and greater specialization, toward greater and greater so-called objectivity, and toward greater and greater separation from thinking of the world in a whole way. So, you know, once we did understand very well that in our art education or music or dance or theater or any of those expressive arts helped build a total human being, we got away from that a little bit because of this overemphasis on science. Probably the reason why Bill Richardson is cutting money from the budget is he's getting political pressure from people like, or companies such as Intel, I'm sorry, I'm giving him press, you know, who have a built-in education system here that's funded through TVI and whatnot, and it trains people to become future workers there. And that's fine. I mean, those provide some, you know, some high-level work, and it's not an aspect that we need to eradicate at all. However, we can't forget what it means to be a whole person, and we need to build whole people into the education system. You know, and we can do it.
Yeah.
We absolutely can do it, but it's going to take time.
I think
things
some
are
of that,
shifting slowly.
Yeah. Some of that is related to the pressure that schools have to compete on a statistical level with other states, with other counties, everything. They have to have these reading scores, you know, this No Child Left Behind thing. But we will do another show on that, as far as the health of children and the pressures, those kinds of pressures.
But people are yearning for soul. They realize something's missing.
Are.
This is why these, you know, psychologists from Jung to Hillman, Sardello, Howard McConaughey's work have been toward getting people to get back in touch with soul, to reanimate the world.
And Howard has written a book, haven't
he certainly
art, called has. Art and
called
Soul?
Art and Soul.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's one of the emphasis is on image and imagination, mm-hmm. rather than teaching how to draw a hand, for example. Mm-hmm. You teach to get in touch with the image. A fourth grade child came to me and asked, how do I draw a hand? And I said, a hand? What is a hand? Well, a hand. And he shook his hand in my face. A hand. Oh, I said, a hand that's angry and trying to get some information. No, he says, I want to draw a hand holding a baseball bat, you know. So we talked about baseball. And after, and I said, you know, how did you get so good? Oh, well, I practiced and practiced. And then pretty soon he said, oh, I get it. He went back to his desk and finished his drawing. The end of the class, as he was leaving, he came up and showed me the drawing. And he said, I done good, didn't I?
That's great.
So that we don't generalize. We must be concerned with the exact form in music. The form, form is part of the image. In dance, you know, in painting too, a painting has a rhythm, and it can be a smooth rhythm of a waltz, a staccato rhythm of a march, or we must care enough to be intense and discover the form of the image, not the form of some classical idea of what a hand or something else ought to look like.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, I just like to quickly bring up the concept of shadow, since that's an important part of Jung's work, and since we're seeing a lot of shadow manifesting in our world today. Maybe you guys can give us a brief. We've only got a couple of minutes here, but just maybe Glenn, could you talk a little bit about the shadow and how this we can get to understand those parts of ourselves that are repressed and how that will help to create a more harmonious world.
Well, I could do it very briefly to say that when you're focusing on the light, which is what has been the focus from the Enlightenment forward, we've repressed all those aspects of ourself that are, you know, having to do with the underworld, and we've pushed that into the shadow. So Hillman Sardello's work, Howard McConaughey's work, this work has been to bring this up again and bring it up again in an engagement that is healthy and healing and balancing. We need that balance.
Bring these parts of ourselves that are suppressed and repressed back up into the light of of consciousness or into awareness.
So well, Hades, things have shifted so badly that we don't remember that Hades was originally the god of fullness and wealth, not just death.
Yeah, it's the lord of the underworld, but the underworld was good. We only have a couple minutes here, but we've had a caller who wanted to hear more from Glenn about the conference. And so, Glenn, since it's your birthday today, happy birthday to Glenn Perry for all the good work you're doing.
Happy birthday
and
to
other
you.
Conferences at SEED. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Glenn. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, and thank you.
You're welcome. Maybe you could tell people a little more again about the conference and just give the website. They wanted to know if there was a website they could.
The website is www.seedopenu.org. That's plant a seed, open a door, and the first letter of university. The phone number is 888-818-7333. The conference is February 26th through the 29th at the Bishop's Lodge in Santa Fe. Conference title is Art and Soul, the same title of Howard McConaughey's book, and it's going to feature James Hillman, Robert Sardello, Howard McConaughey, Greg Cahete, Mary Watkins, Gail Thomas, Cheryl Saunders, and more.
And more. Thank you very much from us at Sage Health on Call here at KUNM. Thanks to our engineers, Otiamba and Carl Allen. And we want to invite you next month to listen to Dr. Cindy Gershewski, who is going to be speaking about the anatomy and bones of health and wellness, about she's a chiropractic, and she's a network spinal analysis chiropractic, which is another level. And so we very much look forward to that as well. So thank you again. And everybody, please image health and wellness in your life. And I think we'll all see it sooner in our community life.